Hello everyone, welcome to edition 212 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are also on Future Radio in Norwich, brought to you by our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. There is still time to sign up for the game, for free as always, by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. A very good evening to you. We are here at Archant Towers to round up the 2017 season-ending Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Coming up, all the overtakes, all the action, all the talking points from that Grand Prix. Probably take us about 30 seconds and then we'll try and fill around the rest of all the other stuff. Joining me this week, I have two-time Speckles kart champion Kyle Cumbers.
Good evening.
And budding Formula One correspondent Callum Springall.
Good evening.
We are here to talk about one of the greatest races ever seen. How are you, gents? You both well? You good, Callum?
Reasonably.
Yeah. That is your stock answer. It's why I like asking you. Kyle, how are you?
I'm good, yeah. A bit chilly in the fine city of Norwich tonight, but...
It's getting to winter, you see, so that's why we know that the Formula One season is coming to an end. You've had the car out again, haven't you?
Yeah, I did a little bit, yeah. So sort of weighing up what to do next year.
Is this sort of Robert Kubica territory of, you know, a comeback?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah. So...
Yeah. We could be by the end of next year, you could be 3 times Beckles Kart champion.
It wouldn't be at Beckles, though.
Oh.
It would probably... Possibly race down Harlow.
Oh.
Way, yeah, an endurance series. So,
All right, but that's going to, I mean, if I have to say 2 times Beckles kart champion and Ryehouse. 1 times Ryehouse kart champion, that's going to be a mouthful. Ryehouse, though, that's a good track, isn't it?
So, yeah, it's not bad, yeah. It's obviously where Lewis Hamilton began. So, I raced there before, a good few years ago. It's a good little championship. So, just, yeah, weighing up options.
Okay, and how are those options looking at? Do you think, you know, it might happen?
Yeah, if I decide to spend the money. We'll go for it. So
you're looking for backers?
No, it's not that bad. But it's yeah, it's a little bit of money. So,
well, let us know.
I mean, we've always been Q racing due to my surname, Cucumbers. Blah, blah, blah. But you never know. We could do a bit of a change.
So, hang on, what? Say that again. You've always been what?
Q racing.
Oh, Q racing. Letter Q.
My surname is Cumbers, so sort of a family sort of nickname. So we always Q racing. But you never know. Could change the name for possibly. The NRF1.
Well, we can't afford it. No, but someone could.
No sponsorship from yourself.
Just in general?
Yeah.
Can I then race?
Well, maybe we'll have a little Kubica Diresta race off.
Can we call it Kubica Racing? Are we allowed to do that? That would be allowed, wouldn't it? I love that. Well, we've obviously set a precedent with having our sticker on the side of successful championship winning cars and carts. So, you know, we can repeat the trick. Right. Okay. Well, let's get stuck in, shall we? To the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. First of all, I should say this won't be the last podcast of the season. We're going to do a season review after this one. So, you know, just prepare yourself mentally that this is the penultimate podcast. But not the last one. So the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, it happened, didn't it, Callum? It took place.
Well, actually, reasonably enjoyed it.
Yes. Now, have we seen anyone else say that? I mean, because literally, Martin Brundle was apologising for it, saying it was really shit.
Well, if you look back at the season, there hasn't really been a race, certainly since before the summer break, at the very least, probably Spa actually, where there's been an actual fight for the lead all the way through the race. So while there wasn't a lot of overtaking, you know, there was a couple of nice little battles between like Grosjean and Hülkenberg, for example, went on for a couple of laps. you know, it was at least something different. It wasn't amazing, but it was enough to keep you sort of almost in limbo for 50 or so laps.
I mean, it's been a curious season actually when you review it, and we won't get stuck too much into reviewing it, obviously, but you know, it has kind of felt like it's been tailing off over the last few weeks, and you know, maybe what we got in Abu Dhabi was just the climax of all that. But I mean, there's been a lot of talk then of actual things that need to be done about it. You know, Lewis Hamilton basically jumped out of the car and said, this track needs changing, it's we can't pass anyone. And they've actually said it's, you know, well, I don't know if it was Lewis who said track's not designed for Formula One, which, I mean, it's not like it's the 9th Grand Prix, so you'd have thought maybe they'd have realised that, you know, 8 races ago. But do you think, Carl, that it needs fundamental changes? And I think Herman Tilke has suggested that they could actually tweak the track if they wanted to.
Yeah, I think something needs to be done. I don't know what they could do, though, obviously I'm not a circuit designer, but it seems a bit difficult. Abu Dhabi's always, even last year, the race probably wasn't that great, but just attention, that's due to the fact that's always the last race, so that kind of covers up probably the track's bad points. But yeah, it wasn't a bad race. Hamilton made it quite interesting for a period of time, chasing Bottas down, but also partly it's the modern day cars and the inability to follow.
Yeah, I did wonder that actually, that this, you know, probably out of all the tracks, maybe this was the one where it was going to be as bad as any in the new cars. It's just that we've been used to them all year. So
yeah, and especially the last sector, like Hamilton was sort of losing half a second when he's close to Bottas. But I did watch a bit of the F2 race on Sunday morning. That wasn't too bad. So yeah, partly track, partly the cars, and if they can do something, then let's go for it.
Is there a better race that should end the season other than Abu Dhabi? I mean, because it was Brazil for a period of time, that was obviously fun, but like, you can't ever see them ending the season at Interlagos now. Is there a track where you think it'd be ideal for them to end the season on?
I think Abu Dhabi's quite, what's the word?
Glitzy?
No.
Polished?
No.
Blue? There's a lot of blue. New?
I guess fitting in a way, because it's, you know, the dusk to night, it's kind of the same sort of imagery, like you're pulling the curtain on the season. So I don't know, maybe you could have Abu Dhabi as the penultimate round and Singapore as the very last one. But apart from that, there's not really anything that hasn't already been tried and tested before. I mean, you could take it back to Brazil or Suzuka, but they weren't in themselves great races either.
The sun setting on the season. How about you, Kyle?
I think sort of trying to think of the early races that you can move to the end. I always quite like China, but that's early morning, so you kind of want prime time, don't you? Which is also the benefit of Abu Dhabi, isn't it? And
you couldn't end the season in China, I don't think. Melbourne? But then that's early. Is that early hours of the morning?
It's early hours of the morning, yeah. So you kind of want early afternoon.
Bahrain it is!
Yes!
We selected Bahrain for a while. That's created some good races.
And that's a nighttime race. Mind you, would that instigate some sort of major conflict in the Middle East?
And also, nobody goes to Bahrain, do they? Yeah. At least Abu Dhabi is full of people there. It does create a good crowd.
So we're stuck with it, is basically what we decided.
Yeah, just like tweaking, you never know, might create some classic racing.
What I wondered, what would happen if they just went round the track the other way? Like, I know that's really, they're probably really dense, but would that work?
The track in Kyalami, I think they just went when they were around, and Misano, for the bikes, they went when they were around, and create good racing for them.
It
might work.
Haven't, just send them round the other way, it'll be absolutely fine. I guess maybe the runoffs might not quite work the same way. Yeah.
I mean, it's worth a go.
Yes, there we go. Well, if, you know, as long as one of them doesn't try to do it on their own while the rest of the grid is still going around the right way just to see what it does to the racing, that would be silly, obviously.
It would be good, though, because the entrance to the pit lane would be obviously under the track, wouldn't it?
There'd be lots of crashes then.
Because they have different layouts, don't they? So you could have kind of like a gate system, I guess, where on lap one, you let the whole pack go around, you get down to like, I don't know, Haas or McLaren, Sauber, those guys. You get to the end of the straight in the second chicane, sorry. And you say, yeah, you go this route, cut all the way through the end of the track, and they're leading by probably, about 30-odd seconds. Would actually make it an interesting race.
I mean, it's a bit Mario Kart, but it sounds brilliant. Let's make it happen. Well, anyway, Valtteri Bottas won the race because he started it in front, and that was where he finished. And I mean, Nico Rosberg turned up, didn't he, like a mirage on Sky Sports, telling us all about how well things are going, which is great, and how much Lewis drops off the pace when he's won things.
I did quite like that because he won the last three races of that year. Yeah. So it was like, he wasn't really trying, so I won the Grand Prix.
But then, I mean, that was actually seen as quite a really good thing for Nico, because it just got his confidence up and maybe eradicated some of the conversations that were going to come up next year. Maybe at the time we didn't think so. I think at the time we thought, well, don't be stupid, Lewis just isn't trying, and then at the start of the next season he'll start like a house on fire again. But it didn't work out like that. Now, you know, Valtteri Bottas just won this race and he was on pole and did a really good job. So I'm just wondering if history's going to repeat itself, Kyle, because Lewis surely isn't just going to win it again.
No, I don't think so. I think maybe he did. Also, the fact he won two championships in a row, and maybe he did just generally, even start of next season, just sort of not take it as seriously. But yeah, I still think Lewis is now, I think he's seeing those sort of Schumacher championships and Fangio championship, and there seems to be like an extra motivation, he said. I also did like the fact that he's quite honest and said, I've been partying for the last few weeks. So, I mean, the honesty is good, isn't it? I mean, because most people would go, no, I've been taking it as seriously and blah, 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 but we all know they haven't. Yeah, so, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see. If Bottas wins in Australia, then you never know.
You never know. It'll be interesting. But I guess the other thing we should be worried about, should we? It depends if Mercedes are going to be as dominant as they've looked at times this year. But the fact they whapped up the engines this year and kind of blew everyone away. I think it was 20 seconds ahead of Sebastian Vettel, wasn't it, in the end or something like that? Should that make us rather worried about next season already?
Well, they've got less engines to play with. So there's definitely less scope to really wring the engine out completely. But it is the same for everybody else, so it kind of neutralises it, I guess. But still, the ultimate result of the season is that Ferrari need to find a couple of tenths relative to Mercedes. So if they can do that, it's not necessarily cut and dry. If they don't, then it probably will get to a point where it is. But I don't think Ferrari will fall massively off the pace.
They won in Brazil as well, didn't they? So that's only a race ago. So maybe that track just suited Mercedes. And Bottas does seem quite good at 90-degree corners. So.
They just suit his turning style. I mean,
Mercedes actually have pretty much a brand new design philosophy coming up. Word on the street.
Oh. So which one? Thorpe Road? It's a Norwich joke for you all there. Sorry, carry on, Callum.
But yeah, apparently it's going to be a lot more similar to like Ferrari and Red Bull's kind of design. So
Surely that's just to slow them down?
That's one of the deficiencies of the car, is that they've not had... Well, that's the strength of the Ferrari, is that it's been pretty much an all-weather kind of car, whereas the Mercedes has been, albeit very quick, it's been, as the team have been saying all season, it's a diva. So it could strengthen them quite a lot, and they could go back to being quite dominant. Or on the other hand, it could completely f*** them over, because they're going down a route that they don't necessarily know how to engineer the car for.
Just for the benefits of the tape, Callum slightly smiled when he said that last point.
I suppose it makes sense. I suppose James Allison started the design of this year's Ferrari, didn't he, in a way? Well, I suppose he left halfway through 2015, did he?
It was in, like, June.
So the design would have been started, I suppose, and it's probably the philosophy they're going down. So maybe this is the way he sees.
But then he's not involved in the intricacies of that design, so it could go either way.
Could go either way. Well, let's hope so, because we need a proper season, but we'll get properly into the reviewing, of course, in the next podcast. Now, we had our very own Richard Baxter in Abu Dhabi. He was there for the whole weekend with Drew T to take in the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. I think he had a free ticket to try and get into Ferrari world and all sorts. And he was doing loads of stuff. And also, we had a little date with Damon Hill before he went. So it's been a very exciting few days, a week, really, for Richard Baxter. Let's see if we can get hold of him via Facebook on a phone call. I don't know how this works, but let's try it. Rich! Rich! Yeah, oh, was that a hello? very musical. Oh, sad, isn't it? Well, that was Facebook. Facebook is That's why no one rings using Facebook. Let's try ringing using WhatsApp anyway. Hello?
Hello.
Are you all right, Rich? What have they done to Rich? They've turned him into some weird cyborg.
BJ's kidnapped him.
I know. Is he on the yoke? Are you okay, Rich? Squeak once for yes and two for no. Oh. Oh, it's twice. Oh, no. Oh, what? Rich, what? Rich. I mean, this is brilliant podcast. If this isn't the highlight of our season so far. Okay, what should we do now? He hasn't got Skype. If I ring him, how much is that going to cost everyone? Don't think it'll cost me, because I'm here. Hello, Rich? Rich? He's literally turned into C-3PO. Yes, Rich. Rich, how's it been? Have you had fun? I think that's a yes. Say yes. It says I've only got two bars there, so that's a...
No.
Hello. Hello. Maybe the longer we stay on, the better it will do. Yeah? I mean, this is quite funny. What happens if we do a video? Can you see me? Rich? Maybe we can do... we can lip read you. Oh, it's maybe making funny beep noises. No. Yes? It's making a funny noise. One more go, Rich. Can you communicate in the medium of noises how much fun you've had? That was a beep, a dip, and a click. Okay, so what we'll do, that hasn't worked. That's really disappointing. So I'm now going to ask Rich these questions. Kyle, can you type them in here and we'll send it properly?
Okay.
So let's send Rich. Rich, what's it been like being in Abu Dhabi and stuff and Ferrari world? And we'll get him to send the audio. Ask him if he got on VJ's yacht, because that's very important. That was a major plan. And then ask him if he enjoyed meeting Damon Hill, because Damon Hill was at Carrow Road on Friday before last. So we'll leave that then, and we'll hear from Rich later in the podcast, because this is a seamless entity. So let's do a plug in the meantime. If you really like what we're doing here on the NRF1 podcast, you want to help us spread the word to even more people, then you can become an NRF1 supporter. All you need to do is visit patreon.com, patreon.com/NRF1. This will probably be a key case in point over the winter, and we're going to do lots to that, and that's going to be probably one of our big vehicles ahead of next season, just to, you know, really get some merchandise going and have a lot of fun with it, because we think there's all sorts of things that we could do. So patreon.com/NRF1, get involved with us there if you so wish. You know, we might do some t-shirts. If anyone wants a t-shirt that we put together, that might be cool. Stickers are always good, aren't they, Callum? You can put them on the side of your own car, wherever you're driving, and it will go faster, because that has proven to be the case in GP, was it? What was it? F3 Cup. Thank you, Callum. It's been a long, long year. And of course, if you want to make sure you never miss an episode of the NRF1 podcast, and we will have the odd one coming up over the winter, then get subscribed through your podcast player of choice. All you need to do is visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe, and you'll find the link for you, be it iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast, any of them. If it's not there and you want it to be, then just let us know. Send an email to nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Right, let's fire up the NRF1 pit stops. Right, my memory is short, gents, so help us out with anywhere you want to stop off at. I think we've kind of reflected on Ferrari, really, haven't we? Because although the only thing I did want to mention was the wonderful clip of Kimi Raikkonen steadfastly going straight on the warm-up lap, while every other car, pretty much, I think there was a Renault behind him, but every other car was busy, you know, going left and right to make sure there was heat in the tyres. Kimi doesn't need heat in his tyres, does he, Kyle?
Of course not, no. He didn't lose a place at the start, did he? So,
did anyone lose a place at any point during the race? I'm not sure. So he did well. That was all good. Red Bull didn't have a great race, did they? Max did all right. Danny Ric just seemed to go off with I don't even know what it was. Do you remember what it was? It was just an issue?
Well, he had a hydraulic issue at the time. But I don't know. Because he clipped the wall, didn't he? And then came in and that happened shortly after. I have no idea if there was a connection between them. Seems a bit strange to be a connection with that. But yeah, I mean, he had qualified. Max, didn't he?
He did, actually. So he did, yeah. And he was quite a bit behind. And I was going, oh, Danny, done it again. But no, he did, you're right.
Yeah, it's a nice little gap. So I'll give him a little boost, I suppose, going into the winter break.
There was a funny little remark from Danny Ricciardo in the pre-race press conference. It was him, Seb and Lewis going on about how they had 8 world titles between them, which is, he was the only one who's probably going to get away with saying that. But he is a funny one. You listen to what he's saying sometimes, and he does do a lot with a smile on his face, but I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if that's masking some things, but there we go. Renault, they Nico Hülkenberg had to finish where he started, which, as everyone else pretty much did that, he managed to do that too. That meant that Renault finished ahead of Toro Rosso, didn't they, in the Constructors' Championship? Millions of extra pounds. They can consider themselves a bit fortunate because Toro Rosso died a death, basically, didn't they, over the second half of the season?
Yeah, I think they kind of had quite a lot of promise early on, but Sainz leaving pretty much just floored them. I say that because I had a look over the weekend, and actually Sainz, in all but two of the races that he's finished in the top 10, the only two being, I think, Brazil, where his engine was clapped out, and Monza, where his engine wouldn't have really given him anything of any worth. So yeah, that Honda deal really looks to have been the poorest possible thing in both the short term and the long term.
What a great piece of business that was. And Brendan Hartley, now we're over the fact he's blonde and he's back in Formula One, he seems to be struggling a little bit.
He struggles for pace.
I mean, his race, it's kind of an important quality, really.
But naturally, being in the WEC, you know, his race pace is reasonably good. But that doesn't really help to kind of gauge just how good Gasly is, because he's one of those drivers that took a while to adjust to things like GP2, as somebody like Jolyon Palmer did. But then again, Carlos Sainz also did somewhat of the same thing. Had a blinder of a season in 2014 in Formula Renault, like Palmer did in GP2, and like Gasly also did last year. So he's kind of at that bit of like crossroads, I guess, where if, you know, if he's constantly getting the maximum out of the car, then he could go on and be one of the kind of hottest young prospects on the grid. Alternatively, he could just be terrible and get chucked out in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, we'll have some fun finding out for sure. Force India, we could touch on them mainly because Nico Hülkenberg, probably this was one of probably the only moment of actual interest in the whole race. Sorry, Callum, I know you enjoyed it, but Nico Hülkenberg going off the track, rejoining, staying ahead of Sergio, wasn't it? Sergio, yes. Perez, and being given a 5-second time penalty, whereas every other race, whenever they've had this rule, it's always been give the place back. I have what was it, because it was so early in the race, and they do tend to be a bit forgiving on the first lap, don't they? Because of, you know, they can't really, they're more inclined to call everything a racing incident because you've got too many cars and too small a pace of track, because that's where they're all starting, and possibly that rather than making. But for me, everyone gives the place back, don't they? Why on earth didn't they do it?
So that just seems strange, because it was clearly he cheated in a way. Yeah. Well, it didn't cut a corner. Well, it did cut a corner, actually, because it's right-handed, isn't it? Yeah.
That's it. It sets a precedent. I mean, I guess everyone's just going to go, it was the last race of the Grand Prix. No one gave a And that's all so that it isn't a precedent set for when we're all back in Melbourne next year.
But for that, Lewis Hamilton maybe could have tried that if he'd got 5 seconds ahead. He's won the race.
Yeah.
I know it's quite an extreme point, but that's kind of what happens. So,
but it still played a major part in the Constructors' Championship.
Yes.
Yeah, so it was Toro Rosso and the angry people at Toro Rosso weren't too happy. Yeah. So, yeah, he clearly cheated. And, yeah, it's a very just bizarre decision. Because it's just so easy just to go, you got to drop back one space. It's simple. It's not complicated. It's not like Perez pitted and he was 14th and they were all out of place. That was the Abu Dhabi, they were in the same place. So, yeah, just bizarre.
Really weird. Well, there we go.
Well, I can't remember there ever actually being a direct steward's order to a driver to give a place back. I thought it was always kind of a moral choice that the team would tell the driver to give the place back. You know, it's like at Mexico last year when Verstappen got the penalty that wasn't a penalty but then was a penalty against Vettel. And he went for the whole of the last like 5 laps or something, not giving the place up. And then he ended up getting a 5-second penalty anyway. So is it kind of like there's a certain cut-off point where giving the place back is only valid up until that point, and then from then on, perhaps only a time penalty is what they will issue? But to be honest, I don't really know the rule.
I mean, I guess it'd have to be longer than 5 seconds is what you're coming to.
Also, later on, I think he's overtaken Grosjean. He came out of the pits. He's behind Grosjean. He obviously ran wide because he gave space back pretty quickly. So obviously, he is expecting to overtake Grosjean quite quickly again. So, but obviously, Perez, they probably been in. You know, probably would have finished behind him. So, just took advantage and gave it a go, and it worked out for them.
I think Alain Prost was doing some post-race interviews, and he said, "Oh, in this instance, I think it was a fair punishment. I don't think we'd be arguing with this one in particularly. Yeah, of course you wouldn't, Alan. Well said.
The best bit was Otmar. What's his surname?
Staffnow.
Yeah, being really angry afterwards, wearing like a pink Santa hat or woolly hat, wasn't it? Yeah.
What are they called? Like the sweets, like the pink and white ones. I can't remember what they're called.
And drumstick. Yeah. It looked like a drumstick.
Yeah, basically.
Amazing. We're going to have to dig that picture out. That's fantastic. Williams, Felipe Massa retired officially again for good this time. He definitely said, just double confirmed that. He made sure he got in all the cameras and shots, which I thought was good. Someone did say if Felipe had raced in the last few races, had a bit more of the season this way, he probably would be hanging around and people would be more inclined to see him hanging around.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, you compared him to Stroll. Stroll had a shocker.
He did.
At the weekend, yeah. Which he's occasionally done this year. But it's just time. It was time last year, possibly the year before. At least he rounded off the season, his career, in a decent way. But yeah, time to move on. Somebody else's chance.
Well, he could come back yet, actually.
Oh, what are you saying?
I'm not genuinely saying this, but because like Kubica is a bit of a doubt, I don't think anyone would, in their right mind, touch Paul de Resta with a barge pole. Oof. Realistically.
Why not?
Well, he's been out of it for years. I mean, he's been out of it for almost as long as Kubica has. Plus, he was never anywhere near as good as Kubica when he was in it anyway. So I don't really see why you'd even bother taking the punt other than just to give him a reserve drive.
Now, I don't think there's anything we really need to say elsewhere, is there, down the grid, in terms of the actual race? Is there anything else worth discussing? The other teams?
Sauber actually overtook a car, which I think is the first time I've seen it this year.
They actually had quite a good race, to be fair. Yeah. I think they were running ahead of both. No, it was one of the Haases, and I think they were in like 14th, 15th, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, so Wehrlein overtook Magnussen, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's the first time it's happened.
Magnussen did spin. Yes. So that's probably why.
We still didn't hear from Giuliano Salvi, so never mind. All right, well, mainly I wanted to skip through that because we could then talk about, you mentioned Robert Kubica. He tested today and he's testing tomorrow. And we're recording on Tuesday night for those wondering. That's fine, is it? What? No, is it? Is it Tuesday night? It's tonight, yeah, good. Thank you. So that test is ongoing and you know, there may be more to have come out from that by the time this goes live. So just appreciate the actual timings of us recording this. But how are we seeing that going? Because obviously, I guess the ball is in Robert Kubica's court at the moment.
I suppose it's more in the court of how well his right forearm holds up. I mean, that's basically what he's doing the test for. Obviously, we know he's, well, from when he was at Sauber and his year at Renault, we know he was one of the best, if not right up there. So, you know, it's that kind of talent that never really fades. I mean, you could say it did with Schumacher, but, you know, when he was, what, 41 or something and making a comeback, there are always going to be sort of physical constraints of his own. But yeah, if he gets the chance, then it's a great story and you never know, he could fulfill the potential he never really got the chance to.
Be fascinating to find out. Kyle, who do you think is going to be alongside Lance Stroll next season, the walking weapon?
Yeah, I think it'll be Kubica, but in a weird way you probably want his manager Nico Rosberg more than Kubica. But yeah, I mean, it'll be a good story, and hopefully he comes back and he's competitive, and it'll be good. Yeah, nice little story for Formula 1.
Maybe that's the plan. You know, Robert Kubica comes back in, there's a great story around it, he lasts 3 or 4 or 5 races, is then really slow because he can't do it, and then Nico steps into the car and away he goes and becomes world champion again.
To be honest though, he's probably, whoever they're going to bring in basically is just a teacher for Stroll, because you know, they've got all the money from Lawrence Stroll going into the team and they've shown enough faith in Lance already. Surely it's only going to be a matter of time until he really kind of gets enough experience under his belt to kind of kick on a little bit. And you know, just sort of dovetailing from what I said about Kubica just then, he's going to be the better teacher by far than Paul de Resta.
So this is all, of course, at the tyre test that's taking place around Abu Dhabi now, and they're all carrying on. Lewis sounded on his Instagram story absolutely delighted that he was immediately testing for 2018, having barely finished 2017 as a season. lots of stuff going on, of course. And what did you say, Callum, before we started recording? Lewis is really enjoying the Hypersofts.
Apparently so, yeah.
Kyle talked to us about the tyres. There's loads of new tyres. What is a Hypersoft and what does it mean? Where does it sit? Is it softer than Ubersoft? Is there an Ubersoft?
Not yet.
Not yet.
But you never know where it might go. The ultimate soft or... It's never ending with this.
Is there a not? Is there a, no? Okay. How many are there now? Seven.
Seven. Yes.
Can you remember what they are?
Oh God, it's got Hypersoft.
Yes.
Ultra soft. Okay. Super soft. Soft. Medium. Hard.
Super hard.
Is it super hard?
Super hard.
I think it should be mega hard.
Mega hard. No, I quite like super hard. Mega hard. F-ing hard. That's what it should have been.
Also, because I heard the weekend they probably won't ever use it. It's just like a backup tire.
It's just a backup tire. Yeah. So basically, it's.
Hard, you don't mess with f***ing hard.
It's basically this year's hard tyre, which they didn't use anyway because it was too hard.
Right, it's f***ing hard. There's a f***ing hard and a f***ing soft. Everything in the middle you could probably use. This is what they definitely should have named these f***ing tyres. And then you were saying that they're all softer than this year anyway.
Well, the hyper soft,
f***ing soft, yeah.
the very f***ing soft tyre is two steps softer than this year's ultra soft, because the whole across the board they're all getting a step softer anyway. So this year's ultra soft is next year's super soft, and the super soft is the soft, and so on.
I tell you what, it's confusing. That's what it is. And do we know what the colours are as well? I saw a pink.
Oh, yeah, that's
the rainbow.
The hyper soft is pink, then purple, red, yellow, white, orange, and blue.
Blue, which doesn't, but also the blue is also
that's
the wet.
Also the intermediate.
Yeah.
Oh no, it is the wet. Sorry.
Yeah.
And is that going from f***ing hard to f***ing soft? Or the other way around?
That's going from f***ing soft to f***ing hard.
Right, okay, good. How have they got two blue compounds? How does that work?
Got no idea, but surely there's another colour in the world they could...
Well, one's got tread on it, the other one doesn't.
I mean, this is striking...
Plus, you're not going to use full wets in the dry.
Well, no, that is true.
They just left it black, can't they? Just, you know, mega hard, just black.
I mean, this really doesn't feel that it's been very well thought out. Maybe that's why they're having a test, just to get their head around what the hell they're putting on their car. There we go. Anyway, that's all good. So that much more of that next year.
I quite like the different compounds, but they could have just... The teams know the different compounds, like 1 to 7, and then just gone, all got soft tyre, medium tyre, and hard tyre for the weekend. And then they have to go from there.
Presumably, they'll still be restricted on how many tyres of each compound there, or well, of which compounds they are that are being taken to each race weekend, and then how many is it still going to be two that they can use in the race weekend, or can they use three? Well, there's three this year.
Same as true. So they get 13 sets in all, of which they can choose whichever allocation out of three selected tyres from Pirelli.
So there's just more of choice around that.
There could be bigger gaps between the compounds, so you could have a hyper soft and super soft and medium, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to think that the range from f***ing hard to f***ing soft would be greater than it is this year, so, yeah. That, by the way, that is sticking. That all next year, that's what we're going to be referring to them as.
I should make them use all three compounds in a race. Minimum two pit stops.
Or take four compounds and use minimum three.
Yeah.
Just let the teams choose.
Literally free-for-all, yeah. That would be then taking a lot of tyres, I guess, each race weekend.
Well, they get the orders in, like, what, 6 weeks before the races anyway. So just put the deadline 2 weeks earlier and say you can do what you want.
I imagine, actually, we'll probably get the allocations, the compounds that have been selected for Australia pretty soon, won't we? But after the tyre test.
Yeah,
it's the sort of thing you get. We go, Jesus, already? What are we doing? I'm having a break here. Well, there we go. FP1 was the other thing I wanted to touch on because some of the young drivers got a go again, didn't they? George Russell was in FP1. He was in Esteban Ocon's car this time, I think, his Force India. He was, I think, 8, 9 tenths behind Sergio in FP1 in terms of time. And obviously, it's not always exclusively about time, but did seem a bigger gap than he was to Esteban in Brazil. But, I mean, you know, still great experience.
It's a longer track as well. And also, I think he'd done GP3 practice first and then jumped on that.
Because he wouldn't have done any racing, would he, in Brazil? Yeah.
So I think he was sort of swapping between the GP3 car and the F1 car on the Friday, so that doesn't help. So, but yeah, I still think he's 13th overall, was he? Yeah. So it's a step forward.
Yeah, absolutely, and of course, all being well, maybe over the winter we'll somehow grab a word with George and we'll have a nice little catch-up with him. I'm looking forward to whenever we get to do that, if Mercedes are nice to us. And of course, we'll be following his progress very keenly next season when he'll be racing in F2, which is, of course, the support series that follows Formula One around most of its race weekends. And do we, has it been confirmed who's driving for yet, or is that still up in the air?
I'm not too sure. I know Lando Norris is with Carlin. I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember George Russell if that's been announced or not.
I don't think it has. It was ART was the strong link, so we'll see what comes of that.
I thought it was Dams.
Was it Dams? Maybe it was Dams.
I thought it was.
Maybe it was. Well, he's going to end up somewhere. And probably in Formula 2. So that will be good. Right. Make sure you join us on our social media platforms. Because while we might be a little bit drier on podcasts over the winter, it's the best place to keep track of what's going on and what we're doing. The handle is the same, at the NRF1. That's on Twitter, Instagram, and, of course, Facebook. You can always get in touch with us on social media to tell us your thoughts, opinions, and questions. Ask away on any Formula One topic you'd like to discuss. Or you can email us, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. We really do love getting your emails and reading through them too. Our website as well for all our blogs, stats, and all sorts, prediction league standings, what have you, nrf1.uk.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers. Right, it's time for our Of the Weekends. Let's rattle through these, shall we, gentlemen? Driver of the weekend.
It's got to be old. Bottas, yeah.
Yeah, Valtteri. I feel like there's someone else, but I can't think of who. We could make it Felipe Massa, I suppose. Feels like there's someone else, and I can't think of who it is.
Maybe Wehrlein?
Let's do that. Pascal Wehrlein. Yeah?
To be honest, I'm not going to argue with Bottas.
Pascal Wehrlein wins. Team of the weekend.
Blimey. Let's go Sauber.
Sauber, yeah. Well, two f***ing right. How many points did they get in the end? Four?
Let's have a look. Five.
Bless them.
What says Wikipedia anyway?
Well, we never lie. Never lies, Wikipedia. Pastor Maldonado of the weekend. Who it all up?
K-Mag for his spin first lap.
Yeah, and ruining the fact that we still haven't heard from Giuliano Salvi since we made a big deal of it, which is annoying.
Yeah, was also Lance Stroll, as mentioned earlier.
Yeah. He was dog.
Renault's front left tyre man.
Yes!
But also Carlos Sainz for having the wheel half off at the end of the pit lane and saying, oh yeah, I'll go down to the first chicane anyway.
Why did he go on so long? What was that about? Did he just think it was going to miraculously weave its way back onto the wheel at some point?
It stayed on quite a long while though, didn't it? Yeah. How far it looked like it was going to come off at the end of the pit
lane. It was never on. It really did. Just ridiculous. There we go. Okay, and our Giuliano Salvi moment of the weekend.
Probably the interview with Otmar Szafnauer, him looking like a drumstick.
Looking like a drumstick.
It's just the weirdest combination of him looking so stupid and so pissed off at the same time.
They're always the best ones. Kyle?
Probably Valtteri Bottas's pole lap. Ooh. I was really impressed with that. And you could see how much Hamilton was pushing to try and break it, and he couldn't. It didn't look like it was coming all weekend, and just popped up with a, yeah, it was a hell of a lap. So yeah,
that's a really good point actually, because I had to watch it back qualifying and I thought, oh well, Lewis probably just hasn't really tried, and you could just see how hard he was trying on that last lap to pip him. And yeah, well done Valtteri, good stuff. Mine was what happened on the podium. Really awkward moment where David Coulthard and Martin Brundle seemed to be stalling, as if so this has been a great season, time for Formula One to recharge. And then, this isn't an impression of Martin, by the way, we love Martin Norfolk, he's a Norfolk icon. This is time to recharge Formula One or whatever it was. And then they played the VT, and obviously what they were trying to do was tee up the new logo. F*** me, what a story. It's still F1. If you look hard enough, there's an F. And then there's a one. Someone has said it looks a bit like a car. Someone else said it looks like a halo. I think they're taking the and it definitely looks like an F and a one. And they can make it all 3D because I saw it spin around. That was good. And it's going to replace the old one because there was a dead space with the one. Someone only like this year or last year said to me, oh, I didn't realise that was a one in there. They'd actually only ever seen the F and then the flashy bits. And I'm like, wow, really? It's the logo for F1. But, you know, so some people did miss that on that. What do we think about the logo, guys? Come on, this is serious debate now. Kyle?
I don't really care.
Yes!
Like, it seems sort of the modern way just to pay everything that's new. And it's like, what's a logo? You know, fair enough. I gave it something new. I won't miss the old one. It was nice, but
The thing is, you can still look at it. It's not like you won't. No one will ever be able to see it again. You can still see it. It will be on Google. If you go Google F1 old logo, it'll be there. It'll be resplendent. I think the thing you do is iconic, and it will always be iconic. It's also quite old. But, you know, as was.
Yeah, it's a logo.
Yes.
I think the overreaction was just ridiculous because a lot of them say that they're they hate Liberty for taking away an iconic logo. Things become iconic over time. You know, in 25 years' time, when the next owners try to replace the logo, I'd bet my house that everyone on Twitter or whatever the social media in 25 years' time is going to be will be up in arms saying, oh, this new owner, they've done a job. They've been in it for a year. Only two things have happened, and they're ruining F1 already. I mean, Liberty might ruin F1. It's possible, but if they do, no one's going to look back and say it was the logo that did it.
I know. Likewise, if they did ruin it, that wouldn't do much for their investment, really, would it? Which I think they're probably quite well aware of. Personally, I like the font, the Formula One font. It's a nice font, jazzy.
If you tip it on its side, it actually creates a one, because the old one had the optical illusion, and so does this. So it's not all bad.
Like it. Good work. They could do all sorts with that. So there we go. That's exciting. There was a nice little exchange where the new resplendent F1 logoed Formula One Twitter handle said, just 118 days to Melbourne or whatever it was. And the Australian Grand Prix Twitter handle replied saying, oh, well, no, we can't wait. Sadly, everyone then pointed out that their Australian Grand Prix Formula One Twitter handle logo was the old Formula One logo. And they were like, you need to change that logo. I didn't see that they'd replied, but I'd like to think they took that in the jest that it was livid. Oh, well, there we go. That's exciting. And of course, well done, Martin Brundle, for announcing it so well. It's a good fun. Right. Let's get hold of Rich. I think he sent us some audio. It's 2 minutes and 2 seconds long. Let's try to play it. Now, remember the question we asked him. What's it been like in Abu Dhabi and Ferrari world? Did you get on Vijay Mallya's yacht? And did you enjoy meeting Damon Hill when he did an evening with Damon Hill at Norwich City Football Club that I hosted the other week? Let's see what Rich had to say.
Good evening, Michael. Good evening, Podders. I'm hoping this works well. First of all, unfortunately, we didn't get on Vijay's yacht. We saw the marina, but we didn't go into it. It was very, very busy. A lot to see on the day. Probably so much to do and not enough time. So, unfortunately, I didn't get the prediction right and we didn't get on Vijay's yacht. Abu Dhabi has been incredible. We're back in Dubai right now, so I'm having to speak pretty quiet because it's now approaching 20 to 1 a.m. And everyone's asleep, so I'm trying not to wake everyone.
Sorry, Rich.
But both places, Dubai and Abu Dhabi, they're absolutely amazing places to see, knowing that just 20-30 years ago there was nothing here. It was all entirely desert, and you look at it now and there's buildings and everything. It's incredible. Ferrari World was amazing to see as well. Fortunate thing there, the tickets, they said you get free access. That was true, but it didn't cover any of the rides. You had to pay extra for that. So we got into the place, but we didn't go on any of the rides. But it was nice to look around. It's amazing how they've done it. It was like nice touches of Italy there. The pistachio ice cream was very excellent as well, so I highly recommend that.
Can I just say that he can now add pistachio ice cream to his Italian national anthem story? Pistachio. No, I'll let him do that. Carry on, Rich.
But the actual circuit itself was really nice. Beautiful weather. Even though it's winter still here, it's about 30 degrees every day. Even though at the circuit on the top of the hill, we did have quite a breeze as well, which I'm sure some of the cars mentioned in practice. And for the final question, you know, you say about did I enjoy meeting Damon Hill? 100% yes. I was keeping an eye out for him this weekend, but we didn't see him here. But no, that was phenomenal evening. And yeah, I just have to say thank you very much.
Oh, well done, Rich. What a top man for sending that in at 20 to 2 in the morning. I couldn't sound that coherent that late at night. How about you, Carl?
Not at all.
Oh, he sounds like he's done very well. And I don't think he's woken anyone up with that. By the way, he was huskily talking. He was a bit like David Attenborough there.
Yeah, I was a bit worried at the start that he was actually in prison somewhere, or captured or something, and he was talking.
Get me out. Forget the question about VJ Jock. Get me out. Oh, he was on. I'm definitely not on VJ's yacht still.
Yeah, there's a few times he mentioned that, didn't he? So,
I'm still not on VJ's yacht. Help!
Don't worry, we'll get Damon Hill. We'll get out there and go get him back.
I've got Damon's number. I'll give him a ring. I haven't. Oh, brilliant. Well, there we go, Rich. Oh, it'll be good to have him back in Blighty. That's a word for the UK, in case anyone wonders. And we'll have a chat with Rich about his amazing experiences. If we include Norwich City sporting director Stuart Webber going to Monaco and us going to Silverstone, we've been to 3 Grand Prix this year, Kyle, as a podcast.
That's pretty impressive.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, we've never done anything like it before, I don't think, apart from me covering the British Grand Prix, but still.
Yeah, it's not bad at all, is it?
Let's see if we can make it more next year.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to be a dad again. I don't think that's going to happen. Never mind. Anyway, we've got one piece of admin to complete, which is rating the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix out of 11. I have got most of them here. We only started doing it from Canada, but it'll be a regular feature from now on, of course. I haven't got written here what we gave Brazil, but I think it was sort of average. At the moment, the lowest is Japan and Italy on 5.38. And of course, Azerbaijan is 12. Yes, it will go down in history. Right, so what should we give the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix? I'd probably like to start the bidding at 3. And you've given other races 3, haven't you, Callum? Can't remember which one it was now. There was a race you really didn't like and you gave it a 3.
I can't remember which one that was, to be honest.
Might have been the USA because it was a gimmick race. Or another one. Japan. I can't remember.
Well, that's one of the ones that's really skewed, so it probably was. Maybe that or Italy. I don't know.
What do you fancy giving Yas Marina?
6.
Kyle?
I'll go 4.
Yep. I mean, we've done well to spin out a really good podcast out of what was a really shit race, but there we go. Well done, everyone. And, I do ask this question sometimes. Who had the biggest smile heading home on their plane? The guy who designed the logo, probably. Maybe it was Giuliano Salvi, and we just never got to hear from him, because I imagine he's always smiley.
Oh, yeah. Of course. But probably Lewis Hamilton, probably still enjoying the fact that he's a four-time world champion.
Yeah, or could be Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah, again. right, well, and Rich obviously spoke about Damon Hill. Just to bring it up to speed, we did get to be at Damon Hill's evening with at Carrow Road. I got to host it. I got to meet the man himself. What a lovely bloke. What an incredible story. So good to chat to him and quiz him on so many things, on his relationship and rivalry with Michael Schumacher, on the death of his dad, who, of course, my sports editor actually beforehand called Graham Hill a genius. And I think that's absolutely right. Great to talk to him about his world championship win, his coming up through the sport, the death of Ayrton Senna and what he had to do, and just even the background of learning and picking up on so many things that I'd lived through while it was all going on but maybe forgotten, and putting it into the fresh context of now. It was so brilliant. So I am now a major Damon Hill fan. I know Rich is our Damon Hill fan, but the things Damon has achieved and what he's done, and actually some of the reasons for his decisions after and before. Yeah, I have a lot of time and respect for the man.
Was he quite open then?
He was, yeah, and you never quite know how interesting people are going to be, or how sharp and edgy and how they might not deal with things. But he was really open. He was lovely. His wife came along too. Actually, I got bumped off Damon's table because his wife was there. But, I thought, oh, I'm not going to argue. So, Georgie, you're more than welcome to sit in my seat. But Rich did get to sit next to them for the meal as well. So he was made up. And I haven't read the book properly yet, Damon Hill's autobiography, Watching the Wheels, but I plan on doing that. And Kyle, you've got your copy signed by Damon too.
Yes. Many thanks for that.
That's all right.
And I must say, it is a lovely signature.
Lovely,
it's a proper signature, isn't it?
Should we take it? We can take a picture of that, can't we? It wouldn't be an issue, would it, if we put it on social media and took a picture of Damon's signature?
Yeah.
Well, it'd be silly if they're going to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we'll do that. We are hoping. I'm not just sucking up to him, because I was genuinely really impressed with him, but I am hoping. We didn't quite manage it on the night, but I'm hoping at some point we may get to speak to Damon, because what you'll find over the winter, all being well, and I am aware that I've still got to edit a video of the NRF1 Grand Prix, but we are going to hopefully launch our NRF1 Norfolk Formula 1 Hall of Fame, which is so f***ing exciting. It's brilliant. Basically, this county has an iconic relationship with Formula One, and we are going to be meeting hopefully speaking to people, and if not just talking about them, who have made their name, made a name in Formula One, played a part in Formula One, that have a connection, however tenuous, but generally a good strong connection to Norfolk. So Graham Hill drove for Lotus. You know, he, as we found out on Twitter, the most exciting thing ever. The pub we record our podcast in most of the time, the Rush Cutters, used to be called the Boot and Bottle. And a tweeter got in touch with us on Twitter, obviously, to say he had been in the Boot and Bottle, or the Rush Cutters, while Colin Chapman, the guy who created Team Lotus, and Graham Hill, a legendary racing driver, Damon's dad, were having a pint in the pub that, what, 40, 50 years on down the line, we record a Formula One podcast in, Kyle.
It's pretty cool. It's like it was meant to be.
It is. I'm blown away by that. So I reckon we could get Graham and Damon both in the podcast and in the Hall of Fame, but I've got to be very hush-hush in terms of how we do that, of course. But we'll find lots of people to speak to.
Do you reckon they enjoy the trains going by? Maybe sitting outside by the river and...
Would it have been steam engines? Is that a bit rude? Yeah, just those pedal things. So there we go. The NRF1 Hall of Fame is going to be a thing, and you'll hear all about it over the coming months and years, hopefully. And, of course, we'll definitely be back next year, obviously. What the format will be, we'll have to see. We do like to chop and change. And if you do have any views on how you want the podcast to look or sound next year, in terms of doing lots of little episodes, or, you know, like we've done towards the end of this season, maybe more hour-long post-race podcasts, then let us know, give us your views, and that will help us obviously decide on what we're going to do. But I think that wraps it up now. That's the final race done, isn't it? So make sure you keep an eye on all our social feeds, and of course nrf1.uk. We will have one more podcast to go, which will be our season review. We'll do that over the next week or two, so it shouldn't take too long. We're going to probably do it from the Rush Cutters. Seems only fitting. We'll get the drinks and the chips in and all that sort of stuff. But for now, for tonight, for episode 212, it's a goodbye from our guests. Goodbye, Carl.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Callum.
Goodbye.
It's a goodbye from me. Goodbye to you all. Thanks to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up at gpro.net/NRF1. A thanks to Future Radio. This has been the NRF1 podcast. That is all 20 races of the 2017 season done. We can go sit back, relax, review, and we'll be back to tell you all our highs and lows of the 2017 season in a very short period of time. Until then, good night.